We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
No longer a man without a country.
No, now officially pastor of Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis. So it feels good to actually have a home now. That's great.
It does, oh, doesn't boy. It, Matt? I think that would be a strange couple of weeks to not have any real call at that. Well, you did. You had the call to Ascension. You just hadn't been installed to that yet.
Yeah, that's true.
But that must have been kind of funny. And so people are going, well, what did he do? What did he do that Sunday when he really wasn't a pastor anywhere? And of course, you were kind enough to come and be pastor for me.
Preached over in beautiful New Athens and Darmstadt and got to spend some quality time with the Lukumskis all the good folks over there.
And we did have food for you too, didn't we, Matt? Did we not provide food for you?
There was food.
Yeah, okay.
Food galore.
Take care of you. And I am John Lukumski. I am pastor. I haven't retired yet, though the rumors are going around that I am there at St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt. So we are blessed that God has given us places to serve, and we really do appreciate the fact that these churches allow us to come and speak with you as well, because we do come at their courtesy. Say, Matt, before we get started, because we're going to finish up Philadelphia and then the last church.
Yeah, the very last one, Laodicea.
But I had a thought I wanted to share with you. We were sharing with the people some of the rejected things dumb guys think bits. Not that we do every dumb thing that we think of. We actually study these things, are critical of them, reject some. And here's another one that I'm sure we would reject. I wanted to share it with you because maybe you say, oh, no, we could do that. But I'm thinking it's one that we would reject.
Probably.
Well,
it's probably safe to say. I don't know. Maybe not. We don't reject much around here.
He puts his hand on his forehead, kind of shakes his head. We should be on TV here. So anyway, you know, you heard about the laser surgery. They're doing the laser surgery now, right, with the lasers.
On eyes, you mean? Or
well,
just
they
like,
do all kinds of laser surgery.
Oh, yeah, like laparoscopic lasers.
Yeah,
just make that small
and the robotic. They've got the robotic surgery now where they're using the robots.
The Da Vinci machine or whatever they call
it. Is that what they call it?
They do this real, precision surgery.
Precision stuff with the robots. And so I found out my little daughter, Lauren, she's such a sweetheart, 3 years old, was going to have oral surgery. And I thought, my goodness, the doctor will use his teeth?
Holy cow.
So that was a rejected one. Please understand that.
That's a good thing we reject that one. We do not want to share that one with people. That's for sure.
All right.
Oral surgery. Oh, boy.
Apparently, it has nothing to do with the doctor using his teeth.
And now your granddaughter is petrified to go to the dentist, and you wonder why.
He's going to bite me. Oh, okay. So, Philadelphia. We had some things we needed to wrap up with Philadelphia.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that's what I've been saying.
All right. Yeah, let's go. Philadelphia. Last week we talked about the city.
The earthquake.
That was kind of the big theme last week, this earthquake-prone city. And in the midst of trials and the shaky times that are leading up to the end, to Jesus' return, there's a promise that he'll cause them to stand firm and even cause them pillars that will be unshaken. And just that beautiful picture of in the midst of those trials, how the Lord causes us to stand firm because we stand firm on that foundation that is the rock, Jesus Christ. And then we talked a little bit about those shaky times in Jesus' own life, highlights really of the gospel story, the earthquake on Good Friday that shook the earth, and then the earthquake also on Easter Sunday as well when Jesus came back to life from the dead. But today we want to wrap up this letter because this letter also contains comments about this open door. So Jesus here promises that there'll be this open door that no one is able to shut.
And I was wondering, do you think that's related to the fact that you had said Philadelphia was called the gateway to the east? Maybe they were thinking about doors and stuff. That was kind of an image.
That was the nickname, you know, Commercial City Gateway to the East. Maybe the doors were in mind. But whether it was or not, like I mentioned last week, it's just neat to see how these letters are so personalized to these cities. And the phrases and images that are used, like pillars, were images and phrases that the people receiving the letter could really relate to, you know, as a place that's earthquake prone. They could picture these pillars that maybe stood firm and still were standing after in the aftermath of an earthquake. And that's pretty neat.
And, you know, I really appreciate you saying that too, Matt, because you might come to the book of Revelation and think of this as just being some kind of abstract book full of symbols and everything. But no, this was a book that was written personally to people at that time and place. And in fact, there's probably a lot of things that you and I cannot pick up because we didn't come from those cities, but they would have seen the personal references. But I think it's very important that people that are listening to us understand, too, that's what we're trying to deliver to them as a personal word. We don't want to talk about some kind of symbolic, abstract theology or whatever. We do want to give you the teaching of the Word of God, but it's very important that you see it's the teaching for you, the things we're talking about in terms of surviving the earthquake as it is, that we are literally talking about the people out there that right now have all kinds of different trials and struggles, and the realization that the promises that God makes to the people at Philadelphia, he's making to you and me right now.
Yeah, to never lose sight of that. It's not just a book of history, the Bible, the scriptures, but it's a book for us,
our listeners. For us, yeah. So, okay, so what's the business with the gate?
Okay, well, can you read verse 8? Let's just read verse 8 there from this letter in Revelation chapter 3.
I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Continue on, or?
Well, no, that's good. Okay. So this open door that no one's able to shut. When you look other places in Scripture, this open door primarily refers to this opportunity for the gospel.
Yes.
This opportunity for the gospel message to get out, to spread, to be told, so that others, too, can hear that this has all been done in Christ for them. And I think here, the end times, Jesus' return and these shaky times and this open door go hand in hand.
Yeah.
That as we see that Jesus' return is getting closer, these end times are here, the urgency for getting the gospel out grows, or we feel it more. And here, this idea of this door is open, the time is now to share this good news of Christ, this gospel of Christ. And like I said, it's used other places in Scripture. There's a number of places, but one example I wanted to pick up on is Colossians chapter 4, verse 3.
And, thank you again for giving me this in the large print.
You bet.
Thank you.
Whatever I can do.
At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison.
Okay, so this prayer that God would open a door to declare the word, a door for the word. Paul's praying for that even. This letter
in
of Revelation.
Prison yet, which
in
I
prison
think is
even.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think, yeah. In prison, you'd think you'd be praying for a different kind of open door, if you know what I mean. But no, he's praying not for him to be released, but he's praying for
that
the spread of the gospel.
If you stay in prison, that's fine. Yes. As long as the door will be open to get the gospel.
Exactly, that's the main
out.
Thing. Yeah. That's good. That's why he's in prison. Yeah, good. So, and then I looking at ourselves again, I think there's an encouragement here for us to, as Paul did, pray for open doors, to share the gospel, to share the word. And I wonder if we do that much. Do we in our own personal
life? We probably
like
the doors to be closed.
I know. It's a little more comfortable if the door's closed.
Yes,
it's not as much work.
You don't know who's
going to
wander in if the door's open.
It's not awkward. You know. but as individual Christians, like Paul, to pray for open doors to share the gospel as individuals in our own lives, but then also I think in our congregations too, as a congregation, to have an open door, opportunities in our community and supporting mission work around the world even, to share the gospel, to share that word.
And you know, the reason it's hard for us to pray that the door would be opened is because we think it's going to be something we have to do, and we just don't feel adequate to the cause. I don't know what to say. You know, I'm a Christian. I've been going to church, but I don't know what I'd say to people if they asked me about Jesus Christ. And I think the wonder here is, remember, Paul was a great enemy of the church. He hated the church. He persecuted the church. So if anyone would have reasons to be insecure,
good example,
it might be the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
But Paul's come to understand, you don't need to worry about that. Pray that the door be open. Pray that someone cross your path. And that God will give you the words to share. He really will. That's what he said to the disciples, right? They'll bring you before kings and you'll be beaten. But that's okay. The Spirit will give you what you need to say. So you're right. It's a neat prayer. Lord, if there's an opportunity I have to share the gospel with somebody, open that door for me and help me not to be nervous or worried about it, but just to share the love of Christ that I know.
Yeah. And I think that the beautiful news here, too, is that the door is open.
Yes.
The
yeah.
door isn't yeah. closed. But even in these end times in which we live, not knowing when Jesus is going to return, but being ready, the door is still open. It hasn't yeah. been shut.
No.
And so as Christians, yeah, to take advantage of that.
And you know what? He says no one can shut it.
Yeah, isn't that something?
See, that's the neat thing we got to offer people now. We got to offer them there's God's love, there's God's forgiveness, and their mercy. And nothing in this world can take that away from them.
You bet. Yeah, and yeah, nothing can shut that door before Jesus' return. The door remains open.
And, you know, that's been a really great comfort to me in the ministry, too, because as a minister, you worry about that, too, especially at first and probably always that, oh, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I offend somebody? And again, not that we shouldn't repent when we do say mm-hmm. the wrong thing. We should, but just the idea, this is all in the Lord's hands. No one's going to go to heaven because of me,
yeah.
although God will use me as a tool and he gives me the words to speak. But in the end, I can say with great confidence, anybody in heaven has been because of the working of the Holy Spirit through the words of Jesus Christ. I just got to be the guy to share them. And if I didn't share them, he'd find somebody else
yeah.
to share them.
And that should be a comfort to us. You know,
it
sometimes
is
it's a frustrate, you know, because my sinful self, you know, if I just do a little, work a little harder, preach
yeah,
a little better.
Yeah.
But yet, no, it's like you said, it's in the Lord's hands. Just to simply proclaim the word, share the word, and then it's the work of the Holy Spirit.
And you know, we were talking about this being personal, and I'm thinking this is very personal to you because a door opened to you in a place called Ascension in another city called St. Louis. And that was a tough call for you. Do you go through that door or do you stay in the doors that you had there in Emmanuel Waterloo?
Yeah.
So what makes a difference? How did you end up making that choice? How do you know that it's the door you're supposed to be walking through?
You bet. Well, I think first and foremost, I think to keep in mind that either door is a good one.
Ah, okay, good.
You
good.
Know, if I stayed at Emmanuel Waterloo serving there, thanks be to God.
Yeah.
And I would be still doing the Lord's work.
Because that was a door he'd opened to you earlier.
Sure.
That was still his door.
Exactly.
Yeah. That wasn't Matt's door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if I go to Ascension and serve there, thanks be to God. I'm serving the Lord's people there in that place, in that community. So I don't think there's really a wrong door in this case, which as you deliberate and you prayerfully decide where to go, where's the Lord guiding? I think that's a comfort that the Lord has called me to both these places. I can't make a wrong decision, really. Either way, I'm serving the Lord and his people. So, I mean, that's a comfort. But then just a lot of prayer and a lot of conversations and looking at the gifts that God has blessed me with to do his work and where that can best be done here on this earth. Looking too at the needs of the congregations and how are they being served at the particular time, that all plays into it too. But a lot of praying, a lot of times on my knees.
Which is part of the process of repentance, isn't it?
And
that prayer is saying, Lord,
yes.
man, I really don't know what to do here.
Yeah.
You know, so you gotta take over. You gotta guide and help me with this.
And the call process, you know, for me at least, was this process of repentance too, that Lord, you know, don't make my desires on where to serve or not serve out of selfish reasons or to think that I know what's best for me or for your people, but you know what's best. And so please give me wisdom and lead me and guide me and help me in making this right decision.
And I really like what you said earlier, because the people that are listening to us now probably don't have a call to another church. But they're facing the same thing. They've got decisions to make.
Sure.
And I think we get locked up because we're thinking, oh, what if I make the wrong choice? And what's the best thing here? And sometimes you just look at it and say, okay, the Lord's given me some opportunities. I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, because there'll be another door open. All I got to do is look around and see for another place, another opportunity. So don't beat yourself up so much worried about, oh, will I make the right or wrong choice? God gives you an opportunity. He gives you an open door. Give it a try. because it may be an open door that will lead to blessings. It may be an open door that will lead to some additional struggles and trials, and that actually might be a good thing, as you've been talking about here with the people in Philadelphia. They had their fair share of trials with the earthquakes and whatever, but that was okay. God was going to use those things to build their faith and to cause them to grow stronger and as a Christian church. So, yeah, I really do like that thought, that let's not worry about it. They're both good opportunities. Let's give it a try. See where we want to be. Yeah.
You bet. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought that's interesting. Open doors, and you.
No, that's good. No, that's a good illustration. Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Thank you. So, but you said, I think last week, you had an insight in these verses too about this new name, and Lynn had your wife, Lynn.
And that's right. She did.
You don't want to forget.
She did make a special dessert for me. So who knows?
You know? She probably always does that, though.
Yeah, she's pretty good about that. She's a sweetheart. But so it was a couple of weeks ago, and you're doing this. I can't remember what church it was, but he said something about a white stone and a new name.
Yeah, it was a little earlier. Yep.
Yeah. And so now we got that same business here, which you will come down and from my God out of heaven, and my own new name he's going to give to them. I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. And Lynn was listening to this, and this was her insight. And, of course, she's thinking like a woman, see? It might not be bad. We get Lynn and Lisa in here every once in a while to kind of have that woman's insight.
Yeah.
Because she was thinking about what a woman does when she gets married. She gets a what?
Oh, new name.
Gets a new name. Yeah. And she said, well, that fits perfect because Jesus is the bridegroom, and we, the church, are the bride. So, naturally, when we become united with him, we will get a new name.
Yeah, very nice.
That doesn't necessarily nullify the old name, but it is this new name that we have in him. So I thought, well, that was a neat thought, Lynn, so I thought I'd better share that.
I do like that, and it's his name, just like
it's his name.
On the groom's name.
Yes. So now I'm John, and you're Matt, but we are John, the children of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So that makes all the difference in the world, too.
Oh, I like that. Oh, good.
Trust me, because when you get to the gates of heaven, because we're talking about the gates being open and everything, oh, you're one of his kids. Come on in.
That's the name you want.
That's the name you want. That's right. That's the name. And the door will never be shut to us. Yeah.
You know, you should listen to Lynn more often. She's got some good stuff.
She does. She writes half my sermons.
She writes the first half of them, you write the second half.
That's right. Well, you know, she's principal, so she gives me the law, because that particular vocation, it's mostly about law, and then, of course, I get to give the gospel as the pastor.
Quit making things up.
All right, where are we going from here?
Well,
Matt?
I think we're probably ready for our last letter.
All right. Number 7777.
All right. So, number 7, the church in Laodicea. All right, so here we go, and we'll see how far
this
we get here.
Oh, my mic fell away from me. This isn't the same Laodicea here in the United States, though, right? Because it wasn't the Philadelphia and Pennsylvania.
There was some confusion with Philadelphia last week.
Right, that's what I mean. Now, this Laodicea
isn't
the
Laodicea, Iowa. No, this is.
I had a call once to
Laodicea.
Laodicea,
Iowa. Yeah. You didn't go through that open door.
Didn't go through that open door. Okay. And you'll see why. What you know about Laodicea, I ain't going there.
I don't want to go there. Well, they probably need a good pastor, though. I don't know. I think last week we just read the whole letter. Maybe this time we'll go a little more verse by verse through this letter of Laodicea. So why don't you read? We're in Revelation 3. How about verse 14?
Okay. And to the angel of the Lord of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation.
All right. So, again, each of these letters contain different names for Jesus. And I think that's kind of cool, that each letter gives us a different perspective on who Jesus is. So here it's calling Jesus the words of the Amen. Oh, that's kind of neat. Beginning and the end, you know, you kind of have that imagery of Alpha and Omega and the one who was there at the beginning of God's creation. So the idea that he was there at the beginning as well. And that just blows my mind away, that God has always existed. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always existed. Jesus was there at creation, and here he is now writing this letter to his church, to his people.
And you know, it is neat that he pairs the Amen with the beginning of God's creation, because the Amen is, it shall be so.
Yeah.
So he's the one that was here at the one and the start, but he's also the one who is to come as well.
Yeah. I like that.
Again, like you say, the beginning and the end.
Yeah, like the Alpha and Omega, just almost a different way of saying, making that same point.
Yep. Yeah.
Very nice. All right. Well, that's Jesus' title here that he uses here. Why don't we go on to verses 15?
Yeah, here's the bad.
This 17.
It was kind of interesting because in Philadelphia, like you said, he did talk about the troubles and trials.
Yeah.
But he had no really negative things to say about them. But boy, this is tough.
Different story.
I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I'm going to keep reading.
Well, I guess we could stop there. We're kind of running short on time here, too. But, you know, as you go on, you see why they're hot or cold, what the problem is. But for now, just this idea of being lukewarm isn't a good thing. You know,
no.
We know that, right? I mean, if you drink a lukewarm beverage, it's not
we
great.
Want it hot or we want it some ice cold in there. Yeah.
You know, when you go to a restaurant, you never get lukewarm. It's not here in America. You don't get lukewarm soda. Oh, I hate that. My wife doesn't mind. Lisa, she'll drink anything.
Well, see, I'm thinking, you've got to remember culturally because we were over in Germany and they do not have ice.
That's what I hear. Or you got to pay extra for it.
You pay extra
for
ice. Yeah, because.
I think that's money well spent. But that's just me.
We were staying with this fine German family and they knew that we don't like our stuff lukewarm. So they had no ice, but they would run cold water over the liter bottles of soda so that it would be cold
right?
for us.
Oh,
yeah, I thought that was so cute.
That's very gracious.
But we don't want lukewarm stuff.
Yeah. So, and I think it's interesting. You know, it's not necessarily that, hot is bad and cold is good in this case, but, you know, they can both be useful, hot or cold, but lukewarm is just kind of worthless.
Except in the story of Goldilocks.
Yeah, the pork.
Sorry. I don't know why I brought that up. But there at the pork was either too hot or too cold.
Thank you.
I don't know. Excuse me. Actually, can I be honest with you about why I brought that up?
Yeah, please.
Because I'm thinking we've got what? We got a minute and a half left
here.
We're
not going to cover this.
Yeah, we're not going to cover it. And it is kind of nice to leave the people in suspense because, you know, I've heard this. I've heard this 100 times. Oh, don't be hot. Don't be cold.
Yeah.
But what follows next, I think, is so interesting what he means when he says they're lukewarm. And it's not necessarily what you might think, right? Because usually when you hear lukewarm, you're thinking, oh, people that aren't very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
That's a problem. You just don't have enough enthusiasm. That's your problem. You need a better attitude. Mm-hmm. But I actually peeked ahead. I hope that's not cheating.
Oh, no.
It was hard
for
me not to because it's large print, you know, it kind of jumped out at me.
Yeah.
And I'm reading and thinking, oh, it's not really a lack of enthusiasm that's a problem here. That's not what he's saying, that you're just not, we've got spirit, yes we do.
Yeah,
that's not the issue. No, it's something totally different that we probably all need to reflect on. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, let's leave it there because, yeah, we want to cover this thoroughly and do a good job. So thank you. And that's a good hook, too. Come back next week.
And find out what it really means to be lukewarm.
To be lukewarm.
It's not so much about your enthusiasm. Yeah. It's something much more fundamental. Yeah. And by the way, how are things going there at Ascension?
That's not fair. We're... Wonderful. We're recording this a little early.
That's
so,
right. You're actually not installed
I'm not
yet.
Installed
if
technically
we were,
yet.
Truthfully,
but...
you were still a man without a country when we recorded this.
Yeah,
but
so...
by the time people hear this, you will have been there.
Yeah,
for...
we're in radio time right now, which is a little different than real time. But no, just the process so far has gone wonderful. And like I said, Lisa and I both excited and eager to get started in this ministry.
Not lukewarm, are you, Matt?
Not lukewarm
not
about
lukewarm.
This one. No. But no, we're just thrilled. So. But I'll fill you in more next week.
Okay. Very
because
good.
We'll be recording later, so that's good. Okay. We need to wrap this up here if I can find how to...
It's up there. Where's it at?
Oh,
there it is.
Oh, there's our closing. Okay.
Okay, well, to the people that are actually in charge of the radio station, we're running a little long. But, hey, God's blessings on your new ministry in Ascension.
Thank you, John. God's blessings to you, too.